Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Rappahannock United Way this morning, and Janelle Donahue, president of Rappahannock United Way. Janelle, it is so good to see your smiling face this morning.
Well, good morning, good morning.
Boy, this has been, this is the first time that you and I have talked during a radio show about your retirement, but also since we talked about, briefly talked about that when you were in a few months ago, just the fact that soon Rappahannock United Way is ending 86 years of operation in this community, and that just seems so difficult to wrap my head around.
I know. I think you and the community and our team and myself, it's every day I kind of wake up, oh, it's a bad dream, and then realize it's not such a bad dream. It is reality.
It's true. No, it's true. Reality. I can remember the day. I can remember the days when Barbara Terry was president of Rappahannock United Way, and the big fundraisers and the kickoff to the campaigns the fall. And I can remember being over in your offices and when she would announce, you know, you've reached the goal, and then you coming along and Rappahannock United Way, 86 years is quite a legacy. And the community, I don't know that is going to be ready for what happens next. I mean, we're gonna see.
I don't think they are. But it's a really tough time. It's a really tough time, and when you don't have the revenue to support the expenses of a nonprofit, I think that's where a lot of people don't understand. Nonprofits are businesses. I think if I could go on a crusade after this, it would be to change the name of the word nonprofit. It's such a misnomer, because while we can make a profit, we turn those profits back and give it back to the people we serve and our population we serve. Nonprofit, it's a business. And if you don't run it like a business, it doesn't work. And if you don't have revenue coming in, you don't have money for the expenses. So many people would come and volunteer or work and expect not United Way to be, sorry about this, but a bunch of housewives that were just doing good. And they'd quickly walk away going, oh, wow, this is a full-fledged business. And so a business that does good, our product is improving lives. And how cool is that to have worked 86 years improving lives in our community?
Oh, and we could go, and what we're going to talk today about, we're not going to just talk about how awful this is, but we've got some stories to tell. I remember you in the studio, and it was during the winter, it was during tax season, and you were sitting in a different chair, and you brought along some people helped by the tax program,
right?
And this lady just told remarkable stories, and it's always like that. We always talk about people that are you know impacted by the tax program, or you were able to provide a car for somebody, or
over
and over, the Rappahannock United Way stories.
Well, I mean, that's why we were there. We were there to improve lives. And you know what the neatest thing about that is, you know, our mission to improve lives by mobilizing the caring power of our community is it wasn't just our staff who were part of improving lives. It was all the people in our community, donors and volunteers and companies and everybody got to be a part of changing people's lives, and that's what I'm going to miss is the lives that were changed, but also the people who got to be a part of that.
I remember here when I first came here, and there was always for years you did it was a big emphasis on business campaign.
Yes.
getting businesses, which I thought was really great because it really got people, I think, connected to their community.
It did.
And in a way, I know businesses now try to do that, of try to get your employees involved in the community, and maybe then they stay in the community.
Yes, it's a little different. It's not bad. It's different. I think what made United Way special is we were third party. So when we would come into a company, we would introduce the employees to the community and getting involved, and we would do the ask. And mm-hmm. so the employees felt empowered and got excited because we were making the ask. The nonprofit was making an ask on behalf of a lot of nonprofits. But in that, then through fun and campaign, like pie in the face and dunk tanks and just auctions and basket raffles and all kinds of fun, you really built a sense of camaraderie with your fellow employees and felt like you were doing something good. And then you had a good sense of your company that they were making a difference because they invited us in.
Yeah.
It's a little harder now. It's
it
not
changed.
Bad.
Yeah.
But what's harder now is when the company then says, hey, let's raise money for the, it feels like the company is asking something of the employees, not the community. And so it is a little harder. So I think United Way brought a sense of community into each company that we went in and did a campaign with, and built culture.
Absolutely.
And built culture.
It was an interesting model for that time.
Well,
it
I still
really
remember
worked.
Coming here, Don Bowler.
Don Bowler. Yes, he was.
You know, he would call me, and I never knew this because back in the 70s, the theme was because of you, it works for all of us, and he would call or I'd call him and he would just say, hi, Janelle, because of you, it works for all of us. I never understood what he was doing. I just was like, okay. And then one day I saw a big like poster, like a, and I was like, oh, and then, yeah, I gave it to Don when he retired, but Don Bowler.
He was
big supporter.
He would go from person to from desk to desk around here.
Yes.
And put that sheet of paper in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just say, here, look at it, see what you can do. You know, fill it out by Friday.
And
get it back to me.
Hundreds and hundreds of people that did that have great memories of that. But yeah, Don Bowler, because of you, it works for all of us. So yeah, the United Way theme, I think it was in 74. I don't know.
It was. The NFL, run during NFL games. That's where I first knew about. I knew about United Way that way. And then I came here and Don pushed it. And
thank you.
It was, it was so. And just and for years when... to kind of kick off that campaign, there would be somebody from the Redskins would come down and speak and play, you know, wherever the kickoff was held would be packed. And
we had Joe Theismann. We had so many Redskins, and we would have an auction to raise money for United Way, and all the Redskins would sign the football. We had a couple hogs come and speak, and it was good times. The kickoff, you know, was the big event back then. Nonprofits didn't really do events, so like we'd fill Sheridan down in the basement with 500 people, and we'd raise about 80% of the campaign goal with Pacesetters, and it was pretty incredible.
And for years in front of the United Way headquarters, there would be like a thermometer.
Oh, the thermometers. Yes, we always had thermometers out in the community. And I remember during, remember when the snipers were here?
Yeah.
I was out 6 a.m. putting the tape on the thermometer as it had gone up and realized I was out in Central Park in full exposure. And I quickly got off the ladder and ran to the car because I'm like, you're an idiot. You're out here putting tape. But I many times ran around the community putting tape up on the thermometers.
For all of that.
Yeah.
So. Janelle Donahue this morning, we are going to talk about some of the programs and just in your time, too, with United Way. RepanicUnitedWay.org is the website to check it out. And Janelle Donahue is here. We'll be back with more on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Janelle Donahue in this morning, Rappahannock United Way. The closing days of Janelle with United Way. It had already been announced that you were retiring, and then now United Way will be closing and ceasing operations soon. Your time in United Way goes, I don't want to say way back,
it is way back. Yeah,
I've only known you with United Way.
Well, so I came to Fredericksburg in 92 to go to Mary Washington College. That dates me a little bit.
It does.
And in my senior year, I got an internship at Quantico, and I was going to be Janelle in personnel, working for Morale, Welfare, and Recreation. And I was in the personnel office and as an intern. And my first introduction during that internship in the fall was that department ran the combined federal campaign for the Quantico installation. And I work with Kara Parker because Rappahannock United Way had the contract to run the CFC for Quantico. And we collected pledge cards. We did a kickoff. We had trainings. And I loved every minute of that. Like people. And loved working with Kara Parker. And got to know United Way. And then I left Quantico. I left there after working there 2 years and went to ECS. And ECS had heard I had had some experience and asked me to run the March of Dimes campaign, then asked me to run the United Way campaign and to be the employee campaign coordinator. And we raised $20,000 that year. And I fell in love with it again. And we did that for 2 years. And when the owners of the company at ECS left the company unexpectedly and left 250 employees without jobs, Barbara Terry, the president of United Way, was the first person to call me and said, hey, here's how we're going to help your employees. And I stayed on with ECS to try to help them for 2 more months. But Barbara called me in December of 2000 and said, do you want a job? Do you want to be the director of, you know, fundraising? I was like, yes. And so,
so we have Barbara Terry to thank.
Well, it depends on who you talk to. Kara Parker takes credit for putting my name in.
Yeah.
Jim Lewis was the campaign chair the year that I was ECC at ECS. And Jim always says, I told Barbara to hire that little girl. They all call me a little girl. I look 12 at the time.
Did.
I don't anymore, but 12 at the time.
No, I can relate because I was the same way. Yes.
Yeah, that little girl. So Jim Lewis takes credit, Kara, and I'm sure many others, but Barbara Terry called me and said, do you want the job? And I was like, yes. So was director of resource development for, 9 years. And then in 2010, I took over as president and 15 years. So 25 years on staff, but 33 years working with United Way.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like I was a child when I started.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But professionally, this has been, you have.
It's a gift. Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, what we were talking before about the campaign, I mean, you've just seen United Way grow and change in so many ways.
Oh, absolutely. Because when I came in, it was at the prime of the workplace campaign, the payroll deduction, you know, and everybody was like, well, how could that ever go away? Well, with the digital, I can't speak. Anyway, when things went online, people were like, we don't need you. I can just give this gift directly. I don't need a middleman. And we had to change our direction. We went to Community Impact. And after Community Impact, we found Alice. And so we worked on Alice. But the reality is when the corporate model changed, we never did really find the revenue strategy to get donations. The companies gave us millions of dollars. Individuals are very generous. They give us hundreds of thousands.
And that's a big difference.
When you don't have millions to make the impact, you can't stretch the dollars much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then impact, yeah. Boy, it is interesting to look at that on a timeline.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So we knew we were changing. In about 08, 09, there was a recession. Companies started changing. We were lucky that our local companies that really supported us didn't walk away from United Way. But what the other piece is, when I first started with United Way, all the CEOs, I mean, 10, 20, 30 years, had been there for longevity, right? And about 2010, 2012, the leadership in our community started to change.
I was just going to say that.
And they usually, not always, come from that company. They come from out of the area. They don't have the history, the buy-in, the love, the family feeling for United Way. And that began to change. And for us, it was a slow burn, about 10 to 12 years. And people didn't necessarily see it because it was slow. And now it feels fast because we had to announce that we were closing. And it's because we don't have enough revenue to operate.
And it's so interesting when you look at Rappahannock United Way and you look at the Moss Free Clinic. And I
yes.
think your
mm-hmm.
tale is one that, that other nonprofits, I think, need to take a look at, because as things change, you can't have the drop-off in revenue and expect to be able to do what you've been doing.
Oh, absolutely. And the wonderful thing about our community, as I go into other communities, not every community is blessed in the way we are. We have so many great, efficient, relevant nonprofits in our communities.
Oh, I see them every day, and that's in here, sitting where you're sitting, I do, and I start to worry now about
well,
that.
Well, you should. Part of the problem is, you know, we're all competing for the same dollars in a very small community. It feels large when you're on 95, but we still live in a very small community
yes.
in general, right? The companies are all being asked to give, and those dollars shrink as well in the corporate world. And then the individuals are being asked to give more. And the same people are being asked over and over and over, and they can't all give
yeah.
and to the level of what the need is. The needs have risen, and they're growing even more with all that's happening in the
yeah.
federal government, and with, even though we haven't been said we're in a recession, it feels that way sometimes, cost of living. So it's a you should be paying attention. You should be paying attention. Somebody asked me, is United Way and now, you know, with Lloyd Moss, is it the canary in the coal mine? Is
yeah.
this a signal? I think you should take it seriously, because government cannot provide services at the same level and at the same cost as the nonprofits can, and it's our community could be hurting.
Yeah, no, we see it all the time, and we see
yeah.
it with others. The food bank will tell you that individual food drives are fine, and there's a place for them, but if you can give them money, they know how to, they can get more for that money than
right.
you can, and that's the same way with Rappahannock United Way.
Well, it sometimes sounds, well, of course you want the money. Of course you want the money.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, having spent 25 years in nonprofit, it's true. We used to tell people, for every $1 you give us, we can put $10 of impact back in the community. Who gets that return on investment? It was true. It was true, because we know how to mobilize volunteers. We
mm-hmm.
know how to mobilize people to give. But when you give it to us, we were able to stretch that. We were able to get other dollars to match that. You know, I used to tell that to Spotsylvania County government. I said, for every dollar you give, I can multiply that. For your $2,000 donation that I'm asking for from you, I can get $80,000 to $120,000 just because they want a local match. So your dollar matters.
Yeah.
So.
And that's where I think local officials now, especially local officials who've advocated for what local government shouldn't be paying for this, let the agencies, you know, let the agencies raise the money themselves. Now when an agency's not there, it's going to come back on the local government, and people are going to be coming and asking for things.
No, absolutely, because they're going to have to turn somewhere. It's going to be interesting to see. It's unfortunate. There's going to be a higher burden on the nonprofits. And what's special about our community too is the nonprofits really, we've worked really hard collectively not to duplicate services.
Hmm.
And so all the nonprofits specifically know the target population they're working for, right? And Rappahannock United Way, we identified ALICE, Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. Those are the households that are working hard, making a living, but are still struggling to pay for the basic needs in times when costs go up or if a crisis happens. We served ALICE, whereas others may be serving those who are in poverty. And they're very deserving populations, but they're served differently.
Yeah.
And so we work really hard in our community not to have duplication of services. Even if you have multiple food banks or food pantries, they specialize and understand who their customer is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
No, I think of over the holiday, whether it's some of these nonprofits now that are struggling, or you look at businesses that we're seeing that, you know, you talk about the canary.
Yeah.
There's a lot of canaries right now with businesses struggling, and like you say, we might not technically be in a recession, but it sure feels like it.
It does. And I have a little bit of a different perspective too from the business. You know, this has been quite a year for my family. In December, my husband and I own Played Again Sports, and of course many people know it caught fire, and you can't see from the outside, but it's completely gutted on the inside. There was nothing was saved, and so we've decided not to reopen. And so many people, oh, but we need you, and oh, it's gonna be a hole in the community. And it's wonderful to hear that. It's so sweet. And it's sweet to hear that about United Way. But the reality is, the same customers who said that hadn't been in the store for 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And so we're like, well, you have to back that. You know, you have to give to the nonprofits. I urge everyone to give to these nonprofits when they ask. I urge you to support small business. Because if people aren't supporting them, they do go away, and then you're like, oh, I didn't realize how much we needed that, the community.
Right.
It doesn't fund itself.
Yeah. No, yeah. You do have a very unique perspective on all of this, just because of what this year has held for you.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And there's a lot, and like you say, there's a lot. Don't take it lightly when you hear a nonprofit. Like you say, a person can't possibly do everything, but
right.
Choose what you can and make that your passion, or spread it around like you can. So we don't have to continue to have these conversations.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping not. I'm hoping, you know, maybe people are paying attention, but I think with the current state of the economy and just the world, and maybe we need a change. I don't know, yeah. But I think more of this is going to happen.
Jill Donahue in this morning, Rappahannock United Way, the outgoing president, as she gets ready to retire and as Rappahannock United Way prepares to shut down. We're going to talk, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the programs that we have talked about over the years, because there really are some great stories. Yes. And these are stories that hopefully get picked up somewhere, somehow, by someone, because they are needed. And we'll talk about that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's almost 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Janelle Donahue in this morning, the president of Rappahannock United Way. Before we get out of here, and we do need to talk about just some of the things the United Way. Over the last few years, all of the programs the United Way did, you prosper. That was sort of the overarching, and that was a great pivot to do that.
Thank you.
And boy, these programs, whether it was, you know, taxes or the financial assistance, the students, the women's program, I thought was just one of the great things that you were really getting involved with.
We were so proud. So we, in 2018, decided ALICE was our target population. So really helping those who are working and when times are hard, have nowhere else to turn. And we wanted ALICE to prosper financially. And so, like you said, we put all of our programs internally under Prosper. And in the last really since COVID, gosh, I can't believe that's been 5 years, but COVID, we really turned to internal programs because that's one where the revenue came from, and also it served Alice. We created our own programs and to really help them prosper. So we had 5 or 6 programs that we've been doing for the last 2 or 3 years, helping the community, and we really did help the community. It's a bit ironic because when I first started my career, we had plenty of money, and we would give that out to the agencies.
Yeah.
But people were like, why do we need you? We don't need to give you our money to give to agencies. We can do that. So the money started to dry up and change, and then we turned to programs, and the programs excelled, and we were helping thousands of people. But then the money didn't flow. So when we had lots of money, we didn't have programs to run.
Yeah,
and then when we had programs to run, we didn't have the money. But we still made impact. And so one of the programs is our tax program. We turned 21 this year. So we're totally legal, 21 years years of age. But we had 60 tax filing events across 11 different locations. So we were truly entrenched in the community. And our community welcomed us. Please come do taxes in our, wherever it was.
Wildly popular.
Yes. We had 45 certified volunteers. The IRS certified them. 45. And just imagine, now this isn't my joy, but thank goodness it's theirs. 45 individuals that said, yes, I'll give up my Saturdays. I'll give up my evenings to do taxes, for people for free. How amazing is that? And they served 1,810 hours. Now, if we had to pay for that, it would have been more expensive, but that's a value of $54,000 in time that our volunteers put in. Of course, they're not paid, so that's just the value. We did 1,149 federal returns and over 1,000 state returns as well. So we were very busy this last tax season, and it was the largest amount of tax returns we had done since the 2019 filing season, which was, of course, right the last season before COVID, because COVID really put a strain, because we were like, how do we get together? How do we do it differently? So we revived it. It's back up to normal. And then most importantly, and I hope people realize this, 260 individuals signed up for our savings incentive program. So if they put 10% or more of their return in savings, they'd go into a drawing for $100 check for $100. And the stories that came out of how people needed and spent that $100 was so incredible. You'd think, oh, I'm going to buy a big TV. No, I'm going to put it toward a house, or I'm going to put it toward gas to go to a job interview.
And that's where here's another thing with the tax program that we always talked about was the people who did their returns and then got the refund, and that money went back into the community.
Exactly. It goes right back in the community.
And you had so many people that were always afraid to do taxes, didn't know how to do them, and didn't do them, or...
Right.
What a hole this is.
Yeah, we had a couple. I know I've told the story before. It's one of my favorites. We had a couple who actually had been living in motels in the last year. They had been hardworking folks, but fell on hard times. So they hadn't done their taxes in 3 years. They didn't have the money to do their taxes. They didn't even have the bandwidth in their emotional state to do their taxes. And they came in and they're like, we need to do our taxes, and then we'll do back taxes in off season. And so they did 3 or 4 back taxes. And they were so scared because they're like, we know we're going to have to pay. We're in trouble. When it came out to it, they got $12,000 back. If you could have seen the wife's face when she turned to her husband and goes, I'm living in a motel. But that was a real joyous, joyous day.
Yeah.
Watching the young people come in and see how easy it was and go, I'm going to go teach my mom and dad how to do this. And the seniors, so many of the people we served were seniors. Because with the tax world it is, it's so online and it scares them. And they're scared of what can happen. And to just help them and be a sense. We had a 98-year-old man come in because he still had a little bit of income. Wasn't working, but income. And just to see their joy of somebody helping them with the kindness that our volunteers did. Yeah. Mm. It's special.
That whole program, and for years we've done, like you said, for 21 years, we've done shows.
And we received revenue from that, from grants, and you know, our donors gave to us, but we were never allowed, which is good, never allowed to take any money from those we served. Not allowed. So one gentleman was like, I want to pay you back. You help me every year. We're like, can't do it. Can't take your money. So every year that he got his taxes done, he would come in the morning before he went in with a bag, and he'd pick up trash all over our campus. And wow. Every year, and we always knew to look for him. But he would come in some days after he had gotten his taxes done. He would pick up trash outside. We weren't that trashy, by the way, but but he would help. It did help.
Yeah. Now, just the helping of people and the money that returned to the community, the people, and with those tax refunds, that's going to be felt.
Yeah.
And that's just another one of these kind of ancillary things that are going to happen now.
Well, it's in the return, it's in the savings, but also and tax places have to make money. But not having to go to another place to get their taxes done, the average was between $120 and $200 saved. So that's money back in the community too. Mm-hmm. That's money that they can pay bills, landlords, education. It's coming back to the community.
Prosper Financial Assistance. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of the stories of people you help. We mentioned the lady in the car and the car repairs and things like that. Just everyday things that Rappahannock United Way would step in. I mean, you would tell me, we would talk on the air. You would tell me off air. Some incredible stories.
Yeah. So we have our Prosper Financial Services, and so we help families if you are behind in your rent and mortgage through a layoff or a medical. A lot of ours, Ted, were medical, already having a hard time, but making it. They would have a medical issue, have to be out a month, two or three, and get behind. But we would pay for rent and mortgage assistance. One month up to 3 months, because sometimes you're not going to find a job in just 1 month, and just giving people that peace of mind and their feelings of, oh, I can breathe, I can figure this out, or I can heal with a sense of peace. And then I don't know about you, but we had to increase our auto repairs. We'll repair cars if you have a need for a car to get to work, a medical appointment, etc., up to $3,000. And I can't tell you how many I signed that were $3,000, because car repairs are just so expensive. And auto mechanics, they're professionals and they have a skill and they do deserve to be paid well, but it's expensive. You cannot get to work if you don't. I couldn't have gotten here today to see you if I didn't have a car.
Yep.
Can't get to work. So we help with car repairs, and we've helped with childcare as well. We didn't get to build that out as much as we'd like to, but those are the basic needs and the highest expenses in our community: housing and transportation.
No, as we talk about these, and I look at them, and I just think that these are all going away. Prosper students. Mm-hmm. I remember interviewing, doing shows with you, and interviewing, and going over there and interviewing some of these students, and just the skills that you were able to, really a short amount of time, getting them teaching students to do basic things. And you always talked about how, because you had your, at the time that this really was starting to take off, your kids were kind of at the age, and you said, they'll listen to some of these other local professionals. They won't listen to me.
They're not going to listen to me. Not at all. But we've benefited as a family, through Prosper Students, them learning about things like that, but also the tax program, because I don't want to do their taxes. And
you always said, I'm not going to keep doing this. You're going to learn how to do this, and I'm not doing it.
I'm not. And Ted, I don't. My kids do their own taxes on United Way's free online tax slayer program, and I haven't done their taxes in 2 years. Now, I do still sit with my son and answer some of the, no, you're not a disabled veteran, but, I answer some questions for him, but no, they do their own taxes, and they're very proud of that, and they feel independent. And so Prosper Students started as a teen camp. We brought 20 teens and spent a whole week feeding them waffles and taking them all over the community, learning about financial stability. And then it moved during COVID to online, and now we're in the middle school and high schools, and they're learning, and just, it's been so rewarding. And we worked with Mary Washington Healthcare, with Project Search, the young people who are aging out of high school who have some disabilities and they get jobs. We go in and we do the financial stability. Here's a check. Here's how you... Here's what you do with your check. Here's how you get a bank account, savings, and here's how you manage your money. Because it's their money. They should be managing their own money.
Yeah, and you taught them. You taught them those things. The last thing, Prosper Mentoring, I was really excited about the future of that. And we did a number of shows, and I always tried to get, I would go home and tell my wife, and she would talk to different people that she knew, different women that would benefit from this. That's where I just the building up of women that you did with Prosper Mentoring.
There's such a need, and we know that not only by people coming in our office, we know that because we have the ALICE report, and the largest demographic of individuals who are ALICE are single mothers with children. In the household. Now, Prosper Mentoring is a program that we focus on women. We don't focus solely on single mothers, but majority of them, because it's the largest ALICE group, are. But they come in and they think that they're just going to be talked at and lectured and feel bad for how they haven't done their finances. And what they realize is they become part of a cohort of women who come to the program, who support one another of, you got this, and you can do this, and let me celebrate you saving your first $100. The certified trainers that we have on staff that just love on them and empower them and excite them, and there's no judgment. And then the women speakers that come in, the professional women, and they tell their stories, and they're vulnerable of, like, yeah, on the outside, I look very successful, and I am, but let me tell you how I got here. I was just like you. And they're like, what? And so this year we had 28 women registered for the program, our highest number of interested ladies. And I do have a quote from one of the ladies. Thank you so much. This budgeting class and the support through our meetings have truly changed my life. I now feel empowered and confident and capable of reaching goals, something I never thought possible before. For the first time, I'm not just dreaming, I'm planning and I'm progressing. This experience is giving me the tools and belief that I needed to take control of my future. That's somebody the community doesn't have to take care of. That's somebody a nonprofit doesn't have to take care of. That's somebody our government does not, because now they are in control and they are gonna control their future. And what's so amazing and what I value about this program, the women then teach the children. They say, I didn't know this, but you're gonna sit down here. One of the ladies calls each month. We give them information. Sit down. We're gonna go over my financial Bible. You're gonna learn what I just learned, and her young adult children are thriving, and that makes her more proud than just her thriving.
Just that story alone, Janelle. You just think, and as sad as this is, but you look at that story, is just multiplied over and over. In all of you, staff has to feel just really proud that in this season, that's what you've accomplished.
You know, yesterday was a federal holiday, so I took the time to clean out my office, which I've been in for 15 years, and I thought it was going to be a really sad day, but it ended up being a very positive day of reflection and pride and positivity, and that's exactly right. It is sad. United Way is stopping our programs on June 30th and then working to close the organization. It's sad. But in that, leaning into the good we've done, the impact we've made, the lives we've changed, the lives we're changing all the way up to June 30th. I mean, we had a class last night. So our staff, as hard as it is of moving on and getting new jobs and finding their next path, they're still pouring in to our community and teaching and coaching. And it's very positive. We have to lean into the impact we've made for the future generations, and not just focus on what's going to happen tomorrow. So I'm very proud. I'm proud of our team. I'm proud of our volunteers. I'm proud of our donors. They've made a lasting impact on so many lives. And what a joy to be able to have helped our community to prosper.
Yeah.
You know, even to the last minute.
Yeah. So. No, you've been the face, and you and I have been great friends over the years. Sarah yes. Walsh has been in here a lot. Mm-hmm. And what are all, just all, everybody there. Kristen, everybody, it's a great team.
Well, we've got a great team. And the good news is almost everybody, several are very, very close, has new opportunities. Some have dreamed bigger and are moving on to bigger dreams. Some have, are getting new jobs in our community. Our goal was that everybody lands, and they land where they're more successful than they were with us. And so far, that has happened, and we are thrilled. We are thrilled.
Janelle Donahue here, Rappahannock United Way. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Janelle Donahue in this morning, Rappahannock United Way. Boy, I don't know how to do this, Janelle. I have known you for yeah. we have done. You would be on the list of guests here. You would be top five for
thank you
for shows over the years, because we generally would do, I would say, five or six shows a year on various topics, and it's just going to be great to see, you know, where you and your husband land yeah. in this. I mean, a lot of people don't. I hate to say that this is, you know, an opportunity, because it doesn't seem
right,
like an
opportunity.
It's not an opportunity people, you know, grab for.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, in your case personally, it's going to be interesting to see when we talk about taxes or students mm-hmm. or mentor, all these programs, what happens to them.
I can't speak a lot about where they're going, but we are working. We're working to ensure that the programs live on and have a home and that the purpose of them live on as well. It will just be a little bit different, not all at the 3310 Shannon Park Drive. So it'll be a little different. Our community is resilient, and I think that's what we have to remember. But times are changing. Maybe they need to change. And so I'm excited and actually I'm not excited. I'm interested in seeing how it all kind of works out. I would just encourage our community to do what United Way has always encouraged people to do, is live united, to give, to advocate yeah. and volunteer. Because when we are a community that gives and advocates and volunteers, we are able to provide programs and support to those in need in our community. And when you don't, agencies like Rappahannock United Way and Lloyd Moss Free Clinic
go away. And that's the thing that you have left today in talking about, that when you hear leaders say, you know, every little, you know, even if it's a small gift, it helps. Or if you in your mind say, you know, someday I'm going to get behind that, act on it.
Now. You know, and you can also encourage others. Just talk about mm-hmm. it. And somebody else may be looking for a passion or a place to give their resources and gifts and talents and treasures. You, even if you're not giving that to an agency, you could talk about it, encourage it. You know, have you heard about XYZ? Support it. There's a lot of good things happening in our community. So it's no lack of areas to get involved in.
And as we've talked this morning, and you have talked about all of these opportunities, all these things that Rappahannock United Way has done, there have been all along, besides being able financially giving, just giving of your time to these organizations.
Absolutely.
And maybe instead of sitting around and watching people argue on TV about things that are happening in Washington, you get involved in your community and you get involved with some of these agencies so they don't go away.
Oh, absolutely. And it can be a one-time involvement. You could do a walk. You could, you know, do a food drive. You could do so many things. But it could also be, you know, something that you do in your free time. I'm now an empty nester, so I have more free time mm-hmm. to give back to the community. So find your passion, and it can be small, it could be large. Yeah.
We talked about the staff. There's over the years, there have been whether it's been volunteers, whether it has been board members. It's been there have been so many people behind the scenes mm-hmm. involved with Rappahannock United Way. Thank you to you all. because, you know, thanks to you, it works for all of us. And it worked,
you,
for,
it
all
worked
of
for
us.
All of us.
It
yes.
worked for all of us over yes. over the years. And now really, like you say, it's going to be interesting to see how the community faces, because this is a huge hole. And if the community hasn't figured that out yet, they soon will. So thank you for being just a great friend and all the work that you've done over the years, you and the staff over the years.
And thank you for helping us to have a voice. Just being able to share means so much. I can't tell you how many people are like, oh, I heard the radio show. I want you to help with XYZ, or I want to help with this. So thank you for being the voice of United Way.
For the final time, thank you, Janelle Donahue, Rappahannock United Way. Thanks, Janelle.
Thank you.
That's it. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.